It's that time of year. We play our Christmas songs and we find the perfect playlist. And I had a really cool experience the other day driving to work. I had, I think it's World's Best Christmas Playlist or something I was listening to on Spotify. And I often hear songs I've never heard before. As I was driving and I was listening to some of the words of a song that popped up, it talked about a father's heart, how he could hardly wait to give his children something too good to believe. And he had been counting down the days until he could give them the gift. And it was the night before. And then he talks about, God, is this the way you felt on Christmas Eve, the night before you gave the greatest gift to me? And it like pierced my heart. I was like, whoa, that puts things in perspective for me. The way that the verbiage, and I had never heard this song before. I had to go do some research, and I was driving, so I didn't get my phone, and my car doesn't tell me what song it is. So I had just been constantly thinking about that verbiage of, God, was this the way you felt on Christmas Eve? Just thinking about the anticipated birth of his son to the planet to give all of us the greatest gift on earth. And that really like changed me. And anyway, I did some research and we found the lyrics to this, and then more of the words, I'm like, wow, this is such a powerful song. But it says, you planned it out before creation, Jesus always on your mind, the holiest anticipation for a savior in a manger, so close, it's almost time. Oh, the joy that's on the way. The father's heart could hardly wait to give his children something too good to believe. I've been counting down the days. I wonder if you did the same the night before you gave the greatest gift to me. And I just thought, who sings this? Anyway, long story short, we found the artist. So if any of you want to find that song, it kind of changed my perspective on Christmas and maybe how God felt. You know, we think about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, and you know, I haven't really pushed pause to think about how maybe God felt that Christmas Eve.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and even prior to that, right? When you came home the other day and you brought that up to me, Deb, that moment kind of just reframed everything for me. Right then and there, almost. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah. You know, we talk about the nativity, but you know, and as a matter of fact, I love talking about the nativity. I love talking about the events of Christmas and all of those things. And David and I actually did two or three Christmases together where we went through and did some real detailed stuff around Christmas, around the nativity, around the wise men, around the shepherds, around Mary and Joseph and Simeon,
and
all of that,
yeah.
You know. And I look forward to being able to this week in Institute do a little thing that we call "Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him," where we talk about some of those things. But you know, when you came home from, I think you were at work or wherever you had been, mm-hmm. and you said, "Scott, you got to listen to this." I'm like, "Holy cow!" That just kind of changed everything. Everything yeah. for me, you know, because I'm that dad. I've had those experiences where, and I don't remember what they were, but I can guarantee you, if you ask Trevor, our oldest son, Trev, what was a magic gift that you got, you know, and whatever that was, because he's pretty imaginative, right? Even at 38 years old, I mean, he just has this little kid feeling about him, and I can guarantee you that there was something. And whatever that something was, I can also guarantee you that we were so excited to give that to him or to any of the others. And I know what that feels like to be the giver of a gift somebody's world they think is going to change. You know, and when we talk about the season, we talk about Christ being a gift. And we talk about the giver of the gift. And when I talk about the giver of the gift, I'm thinking of the giver of the gift of the atonement of Jesus Christ, who is ultimately God. But I always think of Jesus Christ first. And this just totally reframed it for me. You know, in Revelations, there's a scripture in Revelations, I think 13:8 or something like that, that talks about how Christ's crucifixion was even talked about in our pre-existence. You know, so it wasn't like a big surprise,
right?
You know, to Heavenly Father. This is a gift he had been planning to give to us since the beginning of eternity.
Yeah. And, you know, it made me think about, and I've shared this story before about Jessica talking about leaving the pre-existence and how she told me, Heavenly Father was sad when I left. And I just think, how sad was he when Jesus left? You know, I mean, not more sad. I mean, probably, I don't know. But it just made me reflect on that and just ponder, you know, we all had our turn to leave the pre-existence.
Yeah.
We were all there and we've all, you know, we're all coming here.
Yeah.
And then we'll all return back. But I just think, you know, what was it like when the Spirit, when Jesus' Spirit left and came into that manger?
Yeah.
You know, in that city of David.
Right. I that's a big deal. But, you know, and I've always seen that as being a big deal and impactful. You know, one of the most important things that has ever happened in eternity, of course, was the Savior's, Jesus Christ's, advent into mortality. But maybe, Deb, I don't know. I mean, this has got my wheels turning in my head, you know. First off, because, you know, again, in Revelation 13:8, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so God knew this gift was going to be given to us. And so, you know, when I hear us say sometimes like he was sad that we left and he was sad that Jesus, and I know what you mean by that, but I don't think he was sad. I think that he was joyful because this was the solution.
This was
the solution to our returning to him. So it was a gift to us that we knew about right from the very beginning. Obviously, the veil creates a little problem for us. Right?
Well, and he knew the whole picture,
exactly,
too.
The beginning, like, from the end.
But even knowing that he was going to come down here and suffer and go through the things that he was going to suffer, I'm sure he felt something.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sure he felt something. Uh-huh. You know, it's interesting because, you know, our son Bowen is in a joint custody and he's away from his son right now. His son is across the country.
Yeah.
And we had a little gathering on Thanksgiving that was really painful for him. He missed his son.
It was painful for all of us.
It was painful for all of us. And it was one of those, you know, little moments that helps us remember that separation is temporary and not permanent.
But it's separation nonetheless.
Separation, yes.
Nonetheless. Yes. And separation can be difficult and painful. And you know, that's what we feel here, is that separation. When we talk about our separation from Heavenly Father coming to earth and going through all that we need to go through and needing a Savior to come and redeem us from the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve. I mean, what greater gift is there?
Oh, yeah, there isn't one. And it's just like the verbiage in this song, to give his children something too good to believe. I just thought there's no greater gift.
Yeah.
Literally for all of God's children, because that is our hope to return home. This isn't our home. I mean, this is a temporarily, you know, playground or, you know, learning ground or whatever, school. And, you know, we get to learn a lot of things here, but ultimately we're going to live, you know, we're going to go back and live with him. And, you know, even when Jesus came here and then he knew the will of the Father, I mean, as an infant, you know, so vulnerable, so meek, that he was just 100% dependent on Mary and Joseph. And I don't know. I just, it just has really changed the way I have looked at the gift and the giver of the gift.
Yeah.
Because I always, you know, just thought, oh, you know, we're celebrating, you know, baby Jesus, baby Jesus, baby Jesus.
Right.
You know, and the nativities that are just flooding my home and most people's homes and this time of year. And, you know, I love it. I love it. But then I think, but ultimately, who was the giver?
Yeah. And ultimately, what did he give? He didn't just give us a solution, right? I mean, we think of it that way. And ultimately, that's where we have the manifestation, I think, of the gift and the many gifts that come through the main gift of Jesus Christ, his son. But you know what, babe? He was given so much more to us than just a solution to a problem. Think about this. you know, think about our wounds. He gave us a healer for every single wound that we experience, spiritual, physical, all of them, right? Think about this. He gave us a redeemer for every sin. Every sin. And you notice I didn't say every sin that I commit. He gave us a redeemer for every sin. I'm affected by sin.
Yeah, we all are.
I'm affected by your sin. You're affected by my sin. We're all affected by each other's sin. You can't sin in a bubble. And we have a redeemer for all of that.
Yeah.
Every sin.
Yeah.
Think of this. We have strength in every weakness because of the gift.
Yeah.
And I know, I don't know about the rest of the world. I think I do. But, well, but we all have weakness.
Right.
And we need that strength.
And we think of the enabling, you know, that comes with the strength. He enables us to do things that far bigger than we are capable of doing on our own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and then think of this. You know, you and I know people who have been and are currently in some pretty dark places. You and I have been in some pretty dark places.
Yeah.
Maybe many, if not most, of our listeners have been in some pretty dark places. And so because of this gift, there's light in the darkness. In every dark place, we can have light because of that gift.
Yeah.
Here's one more I have that I thought about. You know, in every hopeless place that we've ever been, you've been hopeless. I've felt hopeless. We've all felt that. But because of the gift, now we have hope in every hopeless, potentially in every hopeless situation, right?
I love that too. And I go back to Nick's comment about Jesus likes to get his hands dirty.
Yeah.
Which is true. He meets us in the darkness. Yeah, thinking about Jesus as a gift. You know, I also had an eye-opening experience this morning, you know, feeling sorry for myself, comparing why I'm, you know, not having what everybody else is having and experiencing what everybody else is experiencing. And in my prayer and scripture study this morning, I got that little reprimand. And I was listening to a conference talk and listened to the humble and meek beginnings that the Savior came, you know, almost basically homeless. But I just thought, oh, Deb, stop it. You know, just it's I have a tendency to, you know, pick up my crybaby, you know, attitude and feel sorry for myself. And I often, you know, when I push pause and I reflect and remember, you know, Jesus really is such a gift to me. And his life and his example and his, you know, every single thing he did was by the will of the Father. And I've really tried to pick that up and carry it. Not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
Not my will, but thine be done. And it's like, I'm where I need to be because I'm doing thy will. I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to do thy will.
I've often thought about, you know, the humble beginnings. You just talk about humble beginnings. You know, I think about the humble beginnings and, yeah, homeless and, you know, whatever. But humble beginnings. I don't want to over-exaggerate for the sake of over-exaggerating. But, but he was born in a manger, in a con. That's, you know, in a con's a little bit different than what we think of as a manger. It was actually a place where people would come and stay, like a hotel, and there was no room for them in one of those rooms. So they actually literally had to go stay out in the barn area, the manger area, where the animals were, right? And I think about that. I look at Bethlehem differently. Since we had this discussion the other day, you know, when I remember what the Father was giving, a manger, that was no accident.
Mm-mm.
That was a message.
Yeah.
I think that was a message to
and
each of us.
An important message when you push pause and really reflect on it.
Right. You know, because humility actually defined his entire mission. He came down, not just from heaven to earth, but into our own experiences and into our vulnerability and in places where, like, we hide.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's a totally different view than just being born in a manger to me, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't an accident.
No,
it
was absolutely.
It was
part of the plan.
It was a message.
Yeah.
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 And when the King of Kings is born in a stable, It means he's not afraid to enter our mess.
I know.
He'll come into any part of our lives, any part of our world. You know, I recently listened to a story about a gentleman serving a mission in a third world country, and how these people had, there were tons of people that lived in this little shack, and how they invited him over. It was a missionary, and they invited him over for a Thanksgiving dinner. And he goes, honestly, as a young missionary, I wasn't looking forward to it because they had nothing. And he says, and when we arrived, there were two chairs and a table full of food. And this entire family sat around the edge and watched these two missionaries eat this feast. And every child and adult were just grinning ear to ear, so happy to give that gift. And I think, you know, where's my gift giving skills? You know, we can really put a mirror in front of our face and say, am I willing to give that kind of gift, clear from the soul, intentional and on purpose? You know,
I love your perspective on that. My perspective on that is a little different. I've been a missionary. I've been in a situation where I didn't necessarily want or appreciate a member's kindness. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If I were to sit at a table like that with my companion across the table from me and others watching me eat, the most difficult part of that whole night would be for me to receive that gift.
Interesting.
I see the sacrifice in the giving of that gift, just like I see the sacrifice in the giving of the gift of Jesus Christ from our Heavenly Father.
Right.
And knowing that it was planned from the very beginning, from before the foundations of the world, helps me to have more hope and more faith and actually be a little gentler on myself, because Heavenly Father knew I would need this gift from the very beginning.
Yeah, but we are willingness to receive it.
How do I receive it?
That's interesting.
Ooh, that would be difficult, because as soon as you're telling me, you know, the missionaries are sitting and everybody's watching them eat, I'm getting uncomfortable. I mean, my skin's crawling uncomfortable, because I don't want to receive that gift. Because if that's the case, that means they're going without. There's a huge sacrifice attached to all of this. So how do I receive this gift?
Yeah.
And I guess there's something to be said about that.
And
right.
Maybe they ate before. You don't know that. But
right. Well,
the fact of the matter is, you know, sometimes it's just as hard to receive that gift as it is to give that gift.
I know. Well, what, you know, and I'm also wondering, well, what does this gift to me mean right now? You know, one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which is God with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not above us, not distant, but with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and when we think of being with us, there's many different connotations to that thought. You know, when I'm with somebody, that means I can just share the same space. You know, I could be with a friend in my car, right? But when I'm with you, when you come to me and you say, Scott, we have to be more united, or we have to be this, or we should do this, or I come to you with an idea or a concept or something that will draw us closer to Heavenly Father or anything else, and I say, yeah, Deb, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's different than sitting by you. That's
correct.
An emotional investment, right? Mm-hmm. That's more than just an emotional investment. That's a complete commitment to you. Deb, I'm with you. You know, Emmanuel, God with us, that doesn't just mean he's next to me.
Right.
That doesn't just mean he's in the same room with me. That means if I align with him, he will dwell within me.
What does that feel like when he's with you, Scott?
When
you feel him with you.
When I feel God with me. So let me explain. When I feel God with me, the way that I would define that is anytime that I'm feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost or participating in any kind of what I call instruments of grace. You know, so for example, I felt God today. Now, when I got out of bed this morning, it was a fine day, no big deal.
It's your birthday.
Today's my birthday, so
happy birthday!
Thanks, Dub. We're celebrating my 50th birthday for like the 12th time or something like that, I think. but no big deal, you know. And I do my dailies. I got up and I read a little bit of AA material this morning, and I did a little writing, and I did a little scripture study, and I've done a lot of scripture study throughout the day. That's kind of a blessing that I have an opportunity to do sometimes, and I've done that today. But the way that I really feel Him, Deb, is when I get to participate in service towards Him, when I see His work at work, or when I see the manifestations of the effects of Christ's atonement. I had an opportunity today to, again, offer a blessing, a priesthood blessing, to another young man who struggles with major depression, stuff like I've never seen before. And when he came, he was hopeless. And when he left, he still felt a little bit hopeless, but he was feeling a little bit better. And then later in the day, I got this long text from him of just, and I wept the entire time I sat there and read that. God had changed his life through the Spirit. And that's one of the things for me. Anytime I can feel the Spirit, I know that God's at work in my life. We talk about it all the time, almost to the point where it's like, you know, I think people around me are like, Scott, you're a broken record. You say the same thing over and over and over again. Well, it's true.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
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 It is true.
Yeah. So that's how I, you know, that's what it looks like when I feel the Spirit, or when I know that God's with me. You know, God will direct me. I'll have a thought. I'll pick up a phone. I've learned today that when I think about somebody, I pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's God putting their name in my head or not, and many times it is. Yeah. You know, I'll call them. I just say, "Hey, I was just thinking about
the
you."
Spirit.
Yeah, and then this, yeah, the Spirit putting that in my head or what? But you know, I just call them. Hey, how's it going? Oh, and you know, more times than not. Well, probably not more times than not, but a lot of times, that phone call needed to be made.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's the Spirit.
Yeah. How do you?
For sure. You know, I think it's more for me peace.
I can see that.
I get really distracted in the world, and I let work get me a little riled. I let, you know, my kid thing, you know, if there's things going on with my kids, I stress and worry. And even though I know I shouldn't, because that was one thing I always judged about my mom and my grandma, is like, you guys worry too much. Good grief, quit stressing. And now I find myself doing the very same thing. But I think when I really feel Him is when there's peace. And one of the number one places I feel peace is in the temple. I love the temple. I love being in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I enter into His house, I feel Him. I feel that peace. I feel that calm. I feel that stillness. And I just be still and know that I am God is the temple for me.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
You know, as Deb, one of the things that you asked me, what was your question? How do I know God's my life, or how do I feel it, or what does that look like, or whatever? But you know, one of the questions that I'd like to consider and invite our listeners to consider is, what does this gift to me? What does this gift mean to me right now? You know, as we talked about, you know, we know that He's with us. We know that He's behind us, that He's strengthening us, enabling us, compensating us, all the things that we talk about. But what, you know, one of the things that I think we sometimes get a little bit confused is that we sometimes see the atonement of Jesus Christ as like a spiritual debt relief. Mm. Do you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I owe this huge debt now because of the atonement. I don't owe the of Jesus Christ.
That's
I don't owe that debt anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that's not what it is at all. I mean, you know, our sins are paid for. We are redeemed, all of that, for sure. But what it really is it strength, right? Mm. It gives me strength. It strengthens me to overcome.
It
to
enables,
overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enabling power to overcome my sin, right? Compensating grace to overcome the things that derail me from the past, present, future, whatever. And you know what? Finally, I think maybe one of the greatest things that the atonement of Jesus Christ allows for me is transformation, change. I don't have to stay the same.
Isn't that a relief sometimes?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that. I just don't have to remain the same.
Well, his birth, Jesus' birth, declares something about us, too. We are worth our Heavenly Father's greatest gift.
Oh.
and the anticipation he had on Christmas Eve to give us the greatest gift we could ever imagine. We are worth that price, and he was willing to pay every single one of us.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
His willingness to give this gift says a lot about me.
I've never considered
that until this moment.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I don't think we really truly know who we truly are.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, I realized listening to that song, I hadn't been receiving the gift as fully as I had thought. And I'd been busy and distracted, like I said, overwhelmed. But I think, you know, finding peace. I decided my word for 2026 is peace. I just want more peace because, you know, life gets too busy. And I'm known as people always say, I know you're busy. And I don't want to be known as busy. I want to be known as peaceful or maybe just happy, you know, just peace.
Yeah.
So I think more than anything, this song helped me just kind of push pause and just put on a different set of glasses and look at things very, very differently.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think it helps us as we just kind of wrap everything up here. I think it helps us. We're really focusing on receiving him this season.
Receiving that gift, like you said.
Exactly.
Sitting at that table, being uncomfortable, maybe. We might be uncomfortable receiving it.
But it doesn't mean being perfect.
True.
It does mean, however, that we turn towards him.
Yeah.
Right? And we turn towards him with complete honesty, or as much honesty as we can muster. Mm-hmm. And I realize that sometimes that comes in layers and et cetera. And we need to turn towards him with our needs, right? I think, and I don't know if this is true, especially for men or not, but I sure find myself having a deep, compelling whatever within myself to cowboy up, to just buck up, Scott. Right. And I know that, you know, that gift allows me to be different from that. The other thing is receiving doesn't mean being perfect. It means turning towards him. Again, receiving him doesn't mean being perfect. It means turning towards him with openness, right? Vulnerability. Mm-hmm. We think it's so easy to think, and I've done this, you know, well, go take your sins to the Lord. Talk to him about them. You know, well, he already knows. That's what I would think. He already knows. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to do it with openness.
But he wants to hear that you know.
100%. And he wants to know. And he wants to know that I know that he knows.
Yeah.
And that I know that he knows that I know that there's a solution in his son, the gift, right?
That you have faith in the name.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe more importantly, I can't receive it without humility. And that's a difficult one for many of us, especially people like me. That's a really difficult one, you know, sometimes. So, you know, as long as I can remember this, that receiving him is all about my relationship with him, knowing him, loving him, striving to be like him, knowing him, loving him, striving to be like him. It's all about that relationship. It's not a checkbox. It's not did I or didn't I or should I or shouldn't I or you should have or you shouldn't have. It's about my relationship with him, and I need to continue to develop that.
Yeah, and especially this time of year, sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is that Christmas song, Still, Still, Still.
Yeah, slow down.
Just slow down long enough to let him in, find that peace, find that. I always go back to the sacrament of eating that little piece of that broken, torn piece of bread and ingesting, putting Jesus inside and wearing the garment to wear on the outside. You know, it's just we need more him in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I reflect back on that song, I don't think it was an accident that played because I had never heard that song before. And this time of year, I just love all Christmas music. It's the fun, the silly, the joyful, that I love it all. And it was just no accident that particular one had come up. I found the artist. It was Jordan Saint Cyr, C-Y-R. So if anybody wants to look it up, it's called Christmas Eve. Yeah, it's such a great, great message. Anyway, I just felt like that was something that I would like to share with, you know, our listeners, and even something that I can go reflect back on, because as soon as, you know, we push stop or whatever, you know, I'll forget, you know, and life gets noisy and life gets busy, but I'm grateful for this pause and this moment to just be able to reflect and remember and thank, literally thank my Heavenly Father for the most precious gift.
Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you had that experience. I think our listeners are glad you had that experience. This has really opened my eyes a lot and has been life-changing. It's changed how I see things. You know, I love that I can be at this age, the 12th anniversary of my 50th birthday. For those of you who are struggling with math, that's 62. But I can be at this age and I can have an experience that opens something new to me in my experience with Christmas. I never considered that. I know what it's like to be a father and how excited I am to give the gift of magic and all that stuff to my children. I never thought of Heavenly Father having that.
That most precious gift.
Oh, you know, and I know Christ didn't necessarily come. There's a lot of discussion around exactly when was he really born. But symbolically, we celebrate Christ coming in the winter. And I know that many of us have various seasons in our lives. And, you know, physically speaking, we are in the winter time here in the northern hemisphere. David and his friends in the southern hemisphere are not quite experiencing the same way that we are. But nonetheless, we're in winter. And I know that, Christ came into one of my winters in a really important time. And I think that, I'm so grateful that you helped me realize today that Heavenly Father was so happy that I received that gift finally in that winter time. You know, it was...
You sat at that table and enjoyed the meal.
It was, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as uncomfortable as it may have felt.
So uncomfortable. But October 26, 1998, when he allowed me to be broken enough, or when I was broken enough to allow him into my life and to change everything. I was literally reborn, Deb, not in a day, but in a process. And that's continuing to happen to me.
I love that.
Because of his redemption. I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, I'm grateful for this time of year and the moments that it causes us to reflect. I hope I can just keep remember this all year, not just this time of year. And I hope I can find other messages, you know, those little miracles. So my invitation is simple. Let the Father's gift be the center of your Christmas. Let Jesus be more than a story. Let him be your strength, your peace, and your light.
And you know what? Don't just rush past it. Slow down.
Still, still, still.
Receive him. Let him meet you wherever you are this season, and realize that he is willing to meet you wherever you are this season. He wants to be there with you.
Yeah. Well, I know our Heavenly Father sent his son because he loves me and all of us personally. He didn't give him generically. He gave him to me and to you.
Yeah, so true. You know, and Deb, I testify that Jesus Christ is the gift that changes everything. He changes your past. He changes your present. He changes your future. And most importantly, he helps us through our identity determine our eternity. He is our eternity.
Yeah, what a gift.
I'm so grateful for that. During this Christmas season, we hope that you'll receive him. We hope that you'll consider and accept the invitation to allow him more freely and more completely in your life. Thanks for being with us today. If you like what you're hearing here, please share it. Don't forget that you can reach us at heredeemsus@gmail.com with any comments or questions that you may have. May this season be great for you, and may God's love be ever present in your life, we pray. Have a great one, everybody.
Love you.